saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options in stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Belmont Stakes, I believe it's the 155th running. To help us do so, we go to Calumet City, Illinois. Bring in the one, the only, Ernie Abood. What's up, kid?
JT Kenny, good afternoon. Yes, it's the third leg of the Triple Crown, and unfortunately, we do not have a horse this year buying for the Triple Crown.
Ernie, this isn't the first time in the last 5 or 6 years where we haven't had at least one horse run in all three of the races, though, right?
Well, say that again. I'm sorry. Where we have had horses run in all three?
We don't. Correct. Yes, exactly.
Correct, correct. Although a lot of horses skip the Preakness, to point to this mile and a half Belmont, because this race is a true test of champions because of the distance, 12 furlongs, a mile and a half.
Is it too long?
Is it too long? You know, a mile and a half is not the norm in North America. It is in Europe, and they do it on the turf, which is why you don't see a lot of Europeans coming over here running on the dirt at a mile and a half in this Belmont, which you think would be a logical thing to do. But is it too long? You know, it's not too long if you give the horse maybe plenty of rest. And there's been some talk of extending the Preakness to the Belmont instead of 3 weeks, maybe extending it another 2 weeks. So that's the great debate, is the time between these key Triple Crown races. Typically, again, horses need about 30, 45 days rest. So you're looking at Preakness to Belmont, that's 3 weeks.
Ernie, when we prepare for this race on Saturday, okay, there's 9 horses as of right now. By then, who knows? We've seen in the last 2 big races, right, horses get scratched the day of, the day before, and everything like that. Longer race, 9 horses, how does that affect the jockeys and the horses when you have a longer race, but very minimal horses compared to what we saw at the Kentucky Derby?
Sure, sure. You want to look for horses, starting with the horses. You want to look for horses that have a lot of reserve in the tank, horses that have a good kick, horses that finish strong in that mile and a quarter Kentucky Derby. It's okay if they don't win, but you're looking at something that's a signal that this horse has plenty left in the tank that will appreciate the mile and a half distance. So you want to look for that final eight, that final 16th, maybe something in mid-stretch when a horse, you know, by that time it's turned, it's change of foot, turn of foot, it goes to the other leg where it kicks in that extra gear and it starts to make up ground, make up real estate and pass tired rivals. So even though he doesn't cross the finish wire first, you see him galloping out strong. You see a horse that will embrace that mile and a half. And there are a couple horses in here that will do that, that have that potential. Now, with respect to jockeys, that's all based on experience. This is a mile and a half. There's a clock that goes in their head based on the feel of their horse in their hands going up into their head. They know the clock, so they have to be extremely patient. They don't want to be fast on the front at all in a mile and a half. In fact, you know, horses that are front runners, their effort is only to be on the front lead. Only 3 horses since 2000 have gone on in the winning effort being on the front, and 2 of them were Triple Crown winners, Justify and American Pharoah. So you don't want to be on as a jockey. You want to be very careful when you're on that front lead not to be so fast, because you'll use up the energy of that horse in a mile and a half.
Yeah, pace is everything, especially in a route like this. Ernie, when we think and we try to handicap the Kentucky Derby, and that's a 10-furlong race, and then we come into this route race, the one thing we know about the Kentucky Derby, or a couple of things, obviously, is going to be a hell of a lot more horses in that race, but there are also other qualifying races. Is it the same with the Belmont? Are there qualifiers? Because there's a lot of horses in this field I've never heard of.
No, you're right. There, this, the Belmont does not have a qualifying prep conditioning type of trial where points are awarded to qualify for the Belmont. That format does not exist.
Okay.
To get on the Triple Crown trail, to be eligible and nominated, you have to submit a form, an application, and start that Kentucky Derby trail with the points to qualify only for the Kentucky Derby. Once you get in the Kentucky Derby, then you're eligible to enter your horse in the Preakness and or the Belmont.
All right. When we get into the blood and guts of this and we start handicapping this race in about a minute or so, I'll tell you who I like in this race based on his performance in the Kentucky Derby. But before I get to that, I want to ask you about Churchill Downs, and I want to ask you about the state of horse racing in America right now, because I believe it's 12 horses have passed away over the last 5 weeks at Churchill Downs. Takes me back to last year, about the same thing was going on at Santa Anita in California. What gives? What is the status of thoroughbred racing in America right now?
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy right now. A lot of Hall of Fame trainers are scratching their heads, trying to figure out the rules. Every morning they wake up and there's something different going on. Something's telling them something different. There needs to be some regulation, and it needs to be enforced. Congress, federal regulators recently did pass HISA, HISA. It's Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority. It's a federal organization and authority that oversees the industry safety and drug testing. They've been slow to come around. They're still trying to figure out how to implement that across hundreds of racetracks across the country, but they have seen the concern. So there is some regulation in place, and it's starting to take foothold. But you're right. I mean, Mike Rapoli, the owner of Forte, is just beside himself. I mean, he couldn't believe that, you know, okay, his horse was scratched out of the Kentucky Derby because of a hoof infection, but that could have been fine 5 days later. It could have been okay 6 days, 7 days later. But because the way it was set up, he automatically didn't qualify by veterinary authority. The vet said he could not run in the Preakness, which is 2 weeks later. But he could have been okay to run. Hmm. So there's just not a lot of consistency in terms of when horses are scratched, vet policies. It varies track to track. So this HISA authority hopefully will start to standardize the safety and the drug testing for these equine athletes.
It's hard because it's bittersweet. You love to watch these races, not just necessarily the Triple Crown, but I enjoy all races. But then again, I also understand the human nature and the human element of this, or in this case, even though it's a horse, it's still an element of something that's alive, correct?
Correct. I mean, there's something that's going on, Churchill. I mean, Churchill did suspend some racing. They've taken their back stretch to another track across the state. They are concerned about it. So there's something going on. I remember when Arlington Park had their breakdowns in the turn from home. They did the survey, the analysis. They tore up the track. They looked at the dirt. They looked at the footing, the support of it. And they actually ended up converting all of it to a poly track, which is a mesh synthetic rubber type of surface, which is like a shock absorber for the horses. It's also low maintenance. Keep your costs down. So I wouldn't be surprised if Churchill considers and converts to a poly track. That would go far away from tradition at Churchill Downs, but I'm sure it's on the table and they're looking at the options in terms of breakdowns on poly surface compared to dirt tracks.
Okay, well, let's look at this Saturday. Post time is at 6:50, 10 till 7. Race probably goes off a little bit closer to 7 o'clock. Belmont Park, Elmont, New York, and it is the 155th running for the Belmont Stakes. Kenny mentioned it. We've got 9 horses in the field. Is there any track bias at Belmont?
No, there is not any track bias because of the distance. You know, if it was a shorter race, for example, track bias exists at Preakness. It's a shorter race, and the rail is a bias. That's where the speed is. But because this race is so long, a mile and a half, the jockeys have plenty of time to position their horse and work on the timeliness of when to make their moves at each call. So there is no track bias. The track is also known as Big Sandy. It's a very deep sand, It can be challenging for a large horse sometimes to take footing in a track like that, but because of the mile and a half, it allows the deep closers to get that locomotion going and have that final kick to get to the wire. Like I said, speed does not hold up in the Belmont. Again, since 2000, you know, only three horses went to win the race as front runners. So I look for horses to come off that pace.
All right, let me throw this question your way then about the trainers. Todd Pletcher has won the Belmont four times, including last year with Mo Donegal. How important is the trainer then for this race?
Very much so. Very, very, very important. I mean, obviously, Todd Pletcher is a seven-time Eclipse Trainer Award winner. He's won this race. He won it with a filly, a horse called Rags to Riches, several years ago, and he knows how to get the horses conditioned for this race. He's very, very – he's a Hall of Fame trainer. We also have, speaking of a Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert is in here with the horse that recently won the Preakness. And we have some other trainers there that are not very well-known. Another well-known, I will say, is Brad Cox. He has two horses in this race, one that finished a respectable fifth in the Kentucky Derby.
All right. What about the story? I think it is Arcangelo has a female trainer, and no female trainer has ever won the Belmont. And we saw who was the jockey that won his first ever Kentucky Derby this year after 15 tries. So could this be a year of firsts?
Javi Castellano is on Arcangelo, and Javi Castellano won with one. You know what? I think I stand corrected. Javi Castellano, if you're correct, has never won the Belmont. Hard to say that. He's on a horse that's going to really have – he's a morning line of 8-1. I don't like this horse. He doesn't have a lot of competition at grade 2-1. But very good point. There is a lot of firsts with the trainer, Jane Antonucci, and the jockey, Javi Castellano. It's the one he hasn't won.
Buyers, figures, and everything aside, there are a couple of horses that we know we've seen already. Tappet Trice, National Treasure, you just mentioned, won the Preakness. Forte was a favorite to win the Kentucky Derby. Angel of Empire was coming on strong. And Red Route 1, I believe, has a chance at this distance to win this race. But for me, I like Angel of Empire. Angel of Empire was coming on strong at the end of the Kentucky Derby, which tells me he can finish. What do you think?
I agree with you. I mean, the visual, those optics, Kenny, if you look at how Angel of Empire turn a foot coming for home, he had a 7-wide trip in the Kentucky Derby. That's not the best trip in the Kentucky Derby to be 7-wide turning for home. And he made a tremendous amount of real estate. He was in the stretch. He was, he went at about midway point in the race. He was in 10th position, about 3.5-4 lengths behind. Then he kicked in, improved his position to third, 2 lengths behind, finished third, 1.5 lengths behind Mage in the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. So, and another thing, what they're doing, which is very unusual, Brad Cox, the trainer, according to Flavian Pratt, the jockey, Flavian Pratt and Brad Cox have agreed to add blinkers on this horse. When you put blinkers on a horse, and this is the first time he's had blinkers, that says to me that usually you do that when a horse needs to gather his attention and you need to discipline him and have him get focused, refocused. This horse has done very little wrong, and yet they're adding blinkers on him. So the reason why I think they're adding blinkers is maybe in that Kentucky Derby, he got a little nervous in the 20-horse field, a lot of traffic, lost some attention, drifted out to 7-wide. But they're adding blinkers on, which I think is going to be an advantage to Angel of Empire when he gets into a little bit of traffic, albeit not a lot with 8 other horses. But that could be a positive for that horse.
All right, I'm going to give my horse, okay? This is the horse that I'm going to put. I have a free $5 wager on, so I'm going to put straight up money on this horse to win and then also do an exacta or a try with this horse coming in first, because when this all started 3 races ago at the Kentucky Derby, who was the favorite, right? It was Forte. Mm-hmm. Forte was the favorite to win the Kentucky Derby, had to pull out because of bruised hoof. So It hasn't run in the last two races. Supposedly that hoof has healed, and you've got Todd Pletcher as the trainer. And I look for that horse to be fresh in a longer race, and I'm taking Forte to win this Belmont on Saturday.
You could be right. He had bad workouts leading up to that injury or so-called injury, and you just heard Ernie say that after a couple of weeks, he could have been okayed to run in that Preakness. That's what tells me I don't like Forte.
Well, there are three horses, actually two that I really like in this race, and really almost a coin toss, but I want to see how the horses look on the track. I'm not there at Belmont this year, but I want to see every angle as best I can, these horses up front, and see how they look on the track. I mean, by physical appearance of Forte, the coat of his the coat of Forte, he's shining, he looks good, he's on his toes, his ears are up. So Angel of Empire and Forte, in my mind, it's between those two horses for me. And I'm going to make I'm a little hesitant to make a decision today, believe it or not, but surely. I will if you want me to. But I'm going to actually wait and see how these horses look on the surface at Belmont. Their workouts have been decent. And I will say this, that Forte, when he first made his main debut last year, May of 2022, he raced on Belmont, and he actually won that race by an eye-popping 7 3/4 length. So between Angel of Empire and Forte has that one experience at Belmont. He's the only one of the two. So I do like a little bit of experience on the track. His workouts have been very good on the track, and he really looks sharp. He looks really good. The coat on him he's shining. Okay. So in my mind, you really want a close look to see how the horses are on the track. Angel of Empire and Forte. Look for a horse that's on his toe. Kind of has that little giddy hop when he's out there in the post break. Mm-hmm. Look for ears that are up, okay? Maybe a little giddy up type, if you will, chomping on the bit.
Hey, Ernie. Ernie, what about when they say sometimes when a horse comes out before they get to the starting gate, maybe they drop one? You know what I'm talking about? Is that something? Is that an old wives' tale? If a horse relieves himself before the race starts, you should bet on him.
If you were in a sprint race or a 1,200 meter at McKinley High School back in the day, what do you do? How would you feel?
I would have felt a little bit better, a little bit lighter on my toes. Like you just said, stay on your toes, right?
Stay on your toes. You want to see horses on their toes.
Ernie.
You know, you take these horses and compare them to Thistledown, you'll see very few horses at Thistle on their toes.
That's right. So, and we're almost up against it, Ernie. Real quick, I just want to ask you before we get to the final question here. What's up next? The Breeders' Cup?
Well, Breeders' Cup is in November. You're looking at the Traverse Stakes in August. There's a couple other big ones coming up, but this is it. This is it, boys. Right. We're not going to have a Triple Crown winner. Mage didn't fire up three weeks ago. Just I think that 2 week in between races kind of caught up with Mage, and he didn't get the fractions up front that he needed. National Treasure, we're not talking about National Treasure here in the Belmont. National Treasure stole the race 2-3 weeks ago with the slow fractions, and that's why he had some left in the tank to finish that race, and almost got beat, by the way. But I do not like National Treasure in the Belmont. I believe National Treasure will go on the lead. I think John Velasquez will try to do what he did 3 weeks ago to steal the race with a slow fraction. Right. But I don't think
give me a long shot, Ernie, of the odds, real quick. We got 30 seconds, so give me a long shot.
There's not a huge long shot here. I mean, there's a 30-1 that I don't like at all. But Hit Show at 10-1 finished fifth in the Kentucky Derby. He picked up some pieces. Need a little fast fraction up front, but Hit Show at 10-1. And that one you mentioned is at 8-1, Arcangelo with Javi Castellano on board.
Okay.
The three horse and the seven horse.
Sounds good. There he is, the best in the business, or at least we think so. Ernie, thanks so much for the time. As always, final thought?
Thanks, guys. I can't believe the Triple Crown season is over. Until next time, you can't win if you don't play. Can't wait until next year. May your tickets be live.
Keep them live, baby.